Although Hannah had lived there for over a year, she still opened her eyes each morning to a rush of astonished delight. Now, stretching luxuriously into a shaft of sunlight, she looked around. Her room was just big enough to take her double bed, a chair, and a chest of drawers. She had painted the walls herself, using a soft shade of yellow to contrast with the rich grey colour she'd chosen for the window frames. A ceiling-high built-in cupboard, which was a paler shade of grey, served as a wardrobe, and the rails of the old brass bed had been painted in deep cream enamel. The front door of the house opened onto a narrow field that sloped down to a low stone wall, beyond which was a grassy ledge and a sheer drop to the churning Atlantic. The building stood alone, surrounded by fields, so, eager to allow as much light as possible into the small rooms, Hannah had hung no curtains on the windows that faced the ocean. Beneath the duvet on this unhurried Sunday morning, her toes curled with pleasure as she watched dust motes in the sunlight drift around the brass balls on the bedposts, which she'd polished to a golden sheen. It was late spring when the weather on Ireland's Atlantic coast veered between balmy days that brought green shoots and days of howling, bitter gales that brought floods and freezing sleet. Yesterday, Hannah had pottered between the fireside and the slate workshop by the cooker, where she'd measured out buttermilk, flour and soda in a green glass tumbler and kneaded and cut a batch of scones before sliding them into the oven. Then, with a scone piled high with butter and jam in her hand and a book on her knee, she'd sat by the fire while the wind hurled rain against the window. But now, sunshine beckoned her outdoors. Pushing back her duvet, which was patterned in yellows, greens and greys like her spring garden, she reached for her kimono and made for the bathroom. Later, still wrapped in her kimono and with her feet pushed into Wellington's, she carried a coffee and an apple down the field, climbed the stile and settled herself on the wooden bench on the clifftop ledge beyond her boundary wall. The sun on her face was warm and the view stretched for miles, from the edge of the cliff to the shimmering silver line where the sky met the ocean. Lazy mornings like this one belonged to Hannah's weekends. The rest of her week began with the bleep of her alarm, a snatched breakfast and a quick shower before the 3-mile drive to work, and though she loved her job in Lisbeg's public library, she took huge delight in the hours she spent at home. What she cherished most was her sense of independence. After a painful divorce, she'd spent several years living with her teenage daughter Jazz in her widowed mother's retirement bungalow. It hadn't been easy. By any standards, Mary Casey was a difficult woman, and now that Jazz had flown the nest, Hannah's pleasure in moving to her own home was augmented by the relief of averting what had seemed like an inevitable future cooped up with her bossy mother. Physical distance had made their relationship easier, but Mary could still be infuriating. Today, she had summoned her daughter and granddaughter to a family lunch, which Hannah would have been glad to get out of. Still, it would be great to see Jazz, and opinionated and volatile though Mary might be, her Sunday roasts were delicious. Tipping out the dregs of her coffee, Hannah reminded herself that she had several hours to enjoy in her own garden before driving to her mother's bungalow. As she wandered back up the field towards the house, she wondered if she ought to clean its windows. The wind from the ocean had crusted them with salt, making them as opaque as the windows of greased paper she'd read about in a book about the American frontier. The simplicity of her house delighted her, and she'd wanted to retain its integrity when restoring it, but having been born and raised in the locality, she opted without hesitation for triple glazing. This was no holiday home to be enjoyed in high summer, and locked up and left empty when the winter roared in from the north and the east.